This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. And I'm actually driving home for real today. Something different. Dustin was off work today. He hasn't had a day off in a lot of days, and so that's good. He's got a day off here. And so he's taking care of Aiden today. And that means I'm actually driving home. I did work from home today, and so I was just going to go out and drive around and come back home. But then as I was leaving the house, my wife was bustling around getting ready to leave, and I said, "How you doing, sweetie?" And she said, "Well, I gotta run into town to get the cake." And I said, "Oh, what?" Because we're celebrating one of our ladies in our small group turns 60 today, I think. And so that's a big deal. And so we had planned to do something for that. My wife was going to run in to get a birthday cake. And I said, "You know, I'm headed out right now to go do the podcast. So if you want me to run by the Walmart, I'll do that. And then I'll drive home." And so that's what I'm doing. As it turns out, she decided then instead of a cake, we would get pumpkin rolls. And so when I got to Walmart, I didn't see the pumpkin rolls. And so I asked one of my friends there, and she said, "Well, I saw a couple of them out here. They had three, which I think is what I need, because they were a little smaller. And those three should be just fine." So I got three pumpkin rolls, and I got a gift card, and now we are driving home. We're actually driving home. So everything seems to be going fine with Dustin. You know, it's working like crazy, doing his clinicals with his prefectors, working like crazy. You know, so far all the tests have been passed, and that all seems to be going fine, so it's good. Costumes are pottering along. I thought I was done building costumes for the rest of the year, but I've just been kind of planning a little bit for next year and kind of looking and seeing, and I've got two different possibilities, and I really don't think I'm going to do one of them, but at least I can start the planning stages for it. The one I don't think I'm going to do is carnival. I've always wanted to make a carnival, a Venice carnival costume, but they're really intricate and it would be expensive. I would have to find just the right materials and things, and, you know, a lot of them are heavily beaded, and so I would have to either do all that beading myself or find some beaded cloth from China that I could use. I did spend some time this week kind of looking through things, and I really didn't find anything that I liked. And I, at one point, had one of the costumes I really liked, and so I uploaded that into ChatGPT, and then I said, "Okay, can you build me a costume based on this kind of idea?" And it did, and it was very pretty. Very cool. I liked it. And then today, after work, just for grins and giggles, I just started from scratch and told ChatGPT, "Can you design a costume for me, you know, that is in the style of Venice Carnival? I need it red and gold. You know, can you put tarugas, Roman tarugas on it," which are the leather flap things. And it built this gorgeous looking thing. I was like, okay. And the cool thing about it was it's gorgeous, but it's gorgeous in a way that's actually buildable. In a non-eternal amount of time. Because it has kind of a breastplate on it with ornamentation on it, and then there's the, you know, the skirt and the tarugas with ornamentation on them, and then it has shoulder pads with ornamentation and the headdress, you know, with the feathers and more ornamentation. And it's literally something I could build. I need to find a base material, something like a deep red velvet that also has kind of a mottled surface on it. I need it to have a little roughness to it like that. So I don't know where I would get that, but I'm gonna look around and see. I do not think I'm going to do that for this year though, because Carnival is somewhere at the end of February and into the middle of March. I looked it up, and Carnival this year in Venice is from like late January through mid-February. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but that does kind of crunch the schedule a little bit. So probably not that one. The other one that I think I'm going to take a run at, because I have a little more time, is for March the 10th, which March the 10th in 2026 actually falls in the middle of the week, so I would just do it the first weekend in March, which is usually where it Blue Day, which isn't necessarily the greatest holiday ever, although it's very cute, because I do a Cookie Monster costume for that, and it's a lot of fun. People enjoy it. But I think people would enjoy this just as much, and that is that March the 10th has been dubbed Mario Day. So, from Mario and Luigi, and the name has just escaped. Mario Brothers, obviously. And it's just Mario. So I've already downloaded the digital pattern for a giant plastic head that would be Mario. And then based on the size of that, I'll have to build a bodysuit. Those aren't hard. That pads me out, you know, to where I have the same bulk as Mario. And then I'll have to see if I can either find an extra large Mario costume that I can alter, or make one of my own. The costume is not that hard. It's a pair of overalls with, you know, blue buttons, and then a red shirt and shoes. All that stuff's easy. So I might go ahead and do that. And the big cartoon hands, of course, but I can print those. In fact, I have already. Something just went thump. I'm wondering if I just gassed up the car. I'm wondering if I didn't quite get the gas cap back on. We'll go find out when we get home. The car seems to be running fine. So I probably am going to do the Mario Day. And the reason March the 10th is Mario Day, I don't think I mentioned this, is because it's M-A-R, and then instead of I-O, it's M-A-R-1-0. So it's Mario. Mar-10, which is, of course, March the 10th. So it's very cute. That's cute. And people really reacted well to Mr. Potato Head, so I think they would react well to this as well, and I think they would find it fun. And I've got the digital head, and it looks great. I've downloaded it and looked at the individual pieces. Have to build it in pieces, but, you know, I can do that, so that's no problem. So I think we're good there. So it'll be interesting to see if that all comes together. If not, I've got costumes to cover that whole time frame in there. And, you know, no harm, no foul. So it'll be fine. So that's costumes. Writing is going fine. I'm just finishing up this week on the first writing sprint of book 24. That's all fine. So by this weekend, I'm going to swing back and take all the information that I've gathered on book 23 from the beta readers and start, you know, doing the markup and doing the corrections and getting the production version ready. That has very much sped up with the advance of the AI covers, so that's gotten easier. I do use Grammarly for the inside of the books, but that's just to help me with pronunciation, or, you know, grammar and matching verb tenses and putting the commas in the right places, all that kind of stuff. So on occasion, rare occasion, I will let it suggest a sentence change, and I'll take those sentence changes, but pretty much I just write. So on the AI front, by the way, there's kind of an interesting little development. I think it was this week or last week that on digital downloads, I think it was on maybe Amazon digital downloads, there was actually an AI song that had gotten to number one. But there had only been like 3,000 downloads of it that got it to number one. So basically, if you had $3,000 and you wanted to push your song to number one, you could just go download it 3,000 times and push your song to number one. But people are talking about the fact that this digital download did occur, and it is getting some traction. And according to Spotify or somebody, I think it was Spotify, they had like 2.2 million listeners to that channel, which is pretty amazing. There's another lady on YouTube that is doing really interesting surrealistic videos, and so she writes the lyrics and then she takes it to Sonus, I think, and as Sonus, she describes what she wants, and Sonus creates the song based on her lyrics, and then she uses AI to create a music video based on the song. And it's entertaining. It's worth watching. You know, some people have said, oh, well, it can never be human. Well, it doesn't have to be human. All it has to do is be something that attracts enough attention to be entertaining. I've mentioned this before, but I had a friend, who at one point was making the claim that AI couldn't be truly creative like humans could be. And I'm like, okay, it's not really the point. And his point was, all you're doing is whistling as you walk past the graveyard with AI, because it's just using things that are already dead and gone. And I didn't say this to him at the time, but later I thought, yeah, but if we're talking about writing, that graveyard has Shakespeare and it has Milton and it has T.S. Eliot and it has James Joyce. You know, it has Dante. It has a whole bunch of people in there that are very famous people who are very, very good at all that writing stuff. And, you know, if it puts together an amalgam of that stuff, then it can come up with something that will at least attract enough attention to entertain people, and it can do it very fast, and there can be many, many permutations of it, and basically, we as human authors are just going to get buried in the noise. I mean, I fully expect that to happen, which is the reason I'm really happy that I'm finishing up this series now, because I expect within a year or two at the latest that there will be huge series of books. There will be series with 25 books. There will be series that have 50 books in them. There will be series that will have 100 books in them. And they'll all just be books that have been churned out by AI. And there'll be AI covers. And, you know, you get enough books out there for someone who's using AI to produce these books, and they'll make a little bit of money on every one, and they'll just keep churning them out there. I'm checking my mail to see how we do here. So anyways, that's writing. Writing is going fine. All is well. As far as a main topic goes today, I had several options, and I just keep collecting more options. I have two more after this. There was a fascinating podcast with Brent Weinstein and a paramedic. It just amazing stuff, you know, that doesn't really shock or surprise me, given what I know of human nature and power structures. But I'm listening to another podcast right now that I think I'm at least going to have to mention on the podcast if I don't do a whole summary with ChatGPT, and because it's one of those things that you, unless you've got your ear to the ground, haven't heard anything about, and may very well be all bogus, but honestly, it would not surprise me in the slightest if it wasn't. And it's bad. It's bad. So, you know, things to look forward to. Things to look forward to. Anyways, so I have made it home, but I wanted to go over this topic I had for today really quickly. There's this thing that happens with any large organization. Any large construction of human elements always starts taking shortcuts, starts doing things that maybe individuals, if these individuals had been asked just to do them out of their blue and they would be accountable for it, you know, they would think twice. But when you kind of get hidden in big organizations, it's a little easier to just go along with the stuff that you're asked to do or the stuff that you come up with an idea that you could do. I'm sure you've heard of all the just massive deals that the AI companies are doing for billions, tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars. And you've thought, wow, this is really going. Well, Bloomberg did an article, and there have been several people commenting on the article and you know, kind of rehashing what it says. And I've heard several people come after this in several different ways, basically looking at all this stuff and going, yeah, it's very interesting. So the core thesis of the Bloomberg article was that the current boom in artificial intelligence infrastructure, which you, if you paid any attention at all, you know there's an amazing amount of money that's going into this infrastructure now. And they're saying this infrastructure involving massive commitments of capital, hardware, and partnership is being driven by a set of circular intertwined deals centered around NVIDIA and OpenAI. They're saying these deals are helping fuel valuations in the multiple trillion dollar zone, but are also raising questions about whether the boom in AI is underpinned by concrete economic value or by a self-reinforcing finance loop. So they go through here some things about, you know, the key points of what's going on here. So there's a massive scale of investment and hardware build out because everybody's racing to get to AGI and then to get to ASI, artificial superintelligence, after that. So NVIDIA, which makes the chips that runs all this stuff at this point, NVIDIA has agreed to invest up to roughly $100 billion in OpenAI to help build the large AI data centers in one key deal covering a new installation that's approximately 10 gigawatts of compute. What's really funny here anymore is they don't talk about flops and mflops and all gigaflops and all those kind of things anymore as a measurement. How they measure how powerful these plants are anymore is just by electricity that it takes to run them. So this big factory that they're going to have all these AI chips in to do their creation of the new AI models, 10 gigawatts of compute capacity. That's equivalent in energy terms to multiple nuclear reactors with millions of GPUs. So NVIDIA invests in OpenAI. Now OpenAI commits to buying huge amounts of hardware, chiefly NVIDIA chips, and cloud and infrastructure capacity, because they're making additional deals with Oracle and others to deploy the models. So money is like flowing in loops. NVIDIA invests in offers favorable terms to AI. AI then becomes a major customer of NVIDIA, and cloud partners buy and use NVIDIA chips. Hardware drives more infrastructure. Infrastructure drives demands. These loops are reinforcing each other. Bloomberg raised concern that this circularity may inflate valuations and investment commitments, because it looks like OpenAI just got an investment of, you know, whatever it was, $100 billion. Except OpenAI is pledging to turn right back around and plow that money back into NVIDIA, at least a good portion of it. So it looks like NVIDIA got all these sales, but all those sales were coming from the money that they gave someone else to buy the chips. So, you know, it's kind of like the Three Stooges, where they were handed around the dollar to everybody. So what they're worried about is this kind of money machine metaphor, where NVIDIA's market capitalization soars across the $4 trillion mark, and then it hit $5 trillion in 2025 as the hardware infrastructure link has become central to the AI ecosystem. And OpenAI is reported to have valuations in the hundreds of billions, backed by the dominant position in large language. And to the Bloomberg people, this kind of looks like a money machine. You know, you're just sort of manufacturing numbers through this circular passing of things back and forth. So Bloomberg brought up, you know, a bunch of different questions and concerns, like, about hardware providers. NVIDIA and its ecosystem are in a strong position as compute demand grows, and AI is a key node in that ecosystem. But even as these firms dominate headline, there's a growing narrative that the AI infrastructure wave is less everybody gets rich and more a few big players capture the infrastructure rents and flows of capital flows chasing the future. So, yeah. I mean, everybody's been talking about, oh, it's going to be super abundance. We're going to get super abundance out of this. And I've been thinking for a long time, I don't see how that's going to work, because the people who are going to own the gold, who are going to make the rules, because that's the business golden rule, you has the gold makes the rules. Those people are not just going to give all that gold away. And they're going to be the ones who are in control of all this stuff. There was this really cool diagram in the Bloomberg article that you can look up if you just look at something like Bloomberg article diagram, how NVIDIA and OpenAI fuel the AI money machine. And it's got, you know, all these big circles of this guy made a deal with that guy, and then that guy came back and made a deal with this guy. It's very, very interesting. So, you know, so there you go. Where is this all going to go? Could I do anything about it? No, I can't do anything about it. It's just where we are. So, you know, you get up every day and go, okay, Jesus, what are we doing today? And then you just go on your merry way, because there is nothing. There's no power that I have to change anything that's going on in the AI space. I will say I'm using AI more and more every day to do stuff. And it's really convenient. And I know people talk about the AI bubble and how that AI won't be useful, as everyone says. But I got to tell you, it's pretty useful. Like, right now, it's pretty useful. It makes mistakes, no question about that. But it's pretty useful. And I used it a couple of times today during programming. And then I had some research I needed done on the book. And I used it for that today. And then for the costumes, I asked it to designed me that carnival outfit, and it, like I said, put together something that I can actually make. There's a path forward to make that, because it has kind of a breastplate and, you know, the taruges, which are supposed to be strips of leather, but I'll just make them out of like a 3 millimeter EVA foam with 2 millimeter inlays in it. I mean, it's useful. So I'm not saying we should all throw up our heads and not do AI, but Lance, there's so many pitfalls along the way on this thing. It's just going to be so fascinating to see how everything's going to work out. It's an exciting time to be alive. And thank God we have our Father who watches over us and guides us and helps us. Because if I didn't have him, yeah, I think I'd be pretty nervous about where things are going. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.